Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey.
You know what the Mets were yesterday?
Oh, gas, no break! The New York Mets, BT! One win away from the National League Championship Series. A dominant performance from their ace, Sean Manaea. You got the offense with some timely hits. Alonso going nuts again. And you just feel it. I was there. You just feel the energy. You can actually tell by the way the Mets played in Game 1 that this was going to happen. Doesn't mean that they're going to win today. Who the hell knows? I feel good about their chances. You don't want to see you go back to Philadelphia. That would be the theme for me. But what a performance yesterday from the New York Mets in Game 3.
The Mets looked fantastic. Listen, on this journey with the Mets, and there's been, you know, a lot of ups and downs, primarily downs to start, a lot of ups recently. I've taken the Mets seriously for a while, all right? I've taken them seriously, maybe among the last to take the Mets seriously, but I've taken the Mets seriously for a while now because I respect the way they play. But I never looked at the Mets, and in my mind, even what they did in Milwaukee or even over the weekend in Philly, I got to be honest, where I said, okay, I could associate the Mets with a World Series team. I'm starting to think the Mets can win the World Series. And at the very least, get there. When you look at the components necessary, the Mets are checking every box. Number one, the stars are showing up.
Yeah.
Okay? Number two, the role players are chipping in. Number three, the manager's hitting the right buttons. They catch the baseball. They are clutch. Their starting pitch is giving them length. The Mets look like they could get to and win a World Series.
You know, one funny thing, and I remember having this conversation with you and almost not even believing it myself, but this is like, you know, August, let's say. And we're talking about, well, I don't think the Yankees are that good, but if the logic is, well, nobody else is that good either, then why can't we talk about the Mets being a World Series team? And you're like, you know what? Well, we can. I mean, realistically, would you pick that to be the case? But yet here we are where the Mets are one win away now from being a Final Four team in Major League Baseball, and it's possible. But think about the things that have evolved and changed. You just touched on one big one. The stars are producing, not just Lindor carrying the team and getting the other parts.
Yep.
Pete Alonso has entered the conversation.
Yes, he has.
He was unlocked with that home run in Milwaukee. He's hit home runs now left and right, and if that continues to happen, now you have another star doing what he's supposed to do. The emergence of a legitimate ace in Sean Manaea. He was not that. They did not have an ace. It's why I was begging for them to go get Blake Snell at the deadline.
Yeah.
I wanted a legitimate ace. Well, they now have one in Sean Manaea. That's another piece that I think that you need to get through the postseason. Also, the bullpen. Even a guy like Stanek, who when he first got here was like, oh, this guy?
Yeah.
And now he's emerging as a guy who can maybe get some big outs. And Maton is pretty decent back there. And maybe he could get some big outs. I know yesterday not a great game, but you get the point. If it's not one guy, it's going to be another. My biggest question mark with this team would, in fact, be Edwin Diaz. I don't know. Like, of all the things, I trust their stars. I trust their starting rotation. I don't know if I trust their star closer to get the job done in the big spot. It's why I didn't want to see him yesterday. Luckily, they didn't have to. But, yeah, I mean, World Series team, they won one away from the NLCS. They better be a World Series team.
I hear you. And they've got the hammer now. You finish this thing up at home if you do. That. I mean, that place was sizzling yesterday. When it, you know, listen, you could tell the energy on TV most times, but then there's some times where it shines through, and then there's other times where it just radiates through the television, and it feels different. It sounds different. What's happening right now is that Citi Field. Citi Field's going through maybe a little puberty here, growing up.
Yeah.
Citi Field's growing up. Citi Field's great. Think about this. In the 16 years in Citi Field, they have never once clinched a playoff berth or won a playoff series there. And, you know, for the first couple of years, you know, was what it was. And then, you know, a lot of down spurts and then a little up, obviously, in the mid-2010s. But it's found its footing, and it's found its soul, and it's been around for a little bit now, and Citi Field's starting to grow up.
Yeah, and you could feel the there's a confidence from the Met fan, as opposed to waiting for the other shoe to drop or doubting the team. There is a confidence, and there's a reason why the Met fans are confident. The team feeds the fan base belief, and then that fan base belief again feeds the team. It's a nice little ecosystem that they got going on here. And it leads to what you saw yesterday. Like, there's no way to think that the crowd did not have an extreme impact on that game yesterday. It did. It was lit from the beginning. It was a great crowd that was into it right out of the gate with Lindor's first at bat, singing, even before that with the introductions, but singing the My Girl song. Did you hear that one?
I saw it on social media.
Yeah, I don't know if you could hear it on TV or
not.
But
I saw it on social,
you get 45,000 people singing that, and there are clips on social media of it, which was great. You know, Alonso hitting a home run. It was just a great atmosphere. I thought going in, BT, that this could be reminiscent of what we saw at Shea Stadium in 99 and 2000, where the Mets both times were the lesser seed, and they took on the Diamondbacks, split the first two, came back, and never let it get back to Arizona for Game 5 to face Randy Johnson. In 2000, I forget who the Giants ace was at that time, but
Zito wasn't there yet. No,
Zito was there in 2000, but they split the first two games with San Francisco and then came back home. Bobby Jones had a one-hit complete game. I think that was the nail in the coffin of that series. Benny Agbayani hit a walk-off homer in 13 innings. Point is, they didn't go back for Game 5. I felt like that for some reason coming in where, wow, the Phillies, everybody expects the Phillies, but the way the Mets played in those first two games, I never felt like this series was going back, and you just feel that from the crowd. Now, they got to finish the job. Got to get it done. Series not over. Far from over. Phillies are dangerous. But you just get that feel right now that something special, and it's been brewing for a while, but now we're seeing it with this Mets team.
I'm saying what's going to happen very soon, and it very well might happen today. Pete Alonso's going to hit a ball almost 500 feet. His swing right now to go opposite field, you know, a lot of guys hit opposite field. You know, Yankee Stadium's 314. You get a lot of cheapies. Even Torres's over the weekend was cheap. You'll take it, but it was cheap. When you go opposite field and you hit the facade, you know, in the second deck like Pete hit yesterday, I think it was 105 or 106 miles off the bad exit velo, to go the other way, I mean, there's probably maybe five or six guys in baseball that can hit a ball the other way and almost look like the ball was pulled by a lefty. Like, it's amazing. So now I would think that the Phillies are going to, and he did this in Milwaukee when the home run other way. He did it over the weekend in Philly. He did it yesterday. Now he's letting that ball travel really deep. And now what's going to happen is, because he's beating opposing pitchers to the outside going the other way, they're going to try to come inside. And now Pete's in a groove, and now Pete's feeling himself, and now Pete's swing is not as long. It's much more compact. He's much more confident. I'm telling you, he's going to flirt with like 475 soon to left center field. And he's going to mash one.
Even just the confidence now that I, and I'm sure many other Met fans have in him when he comes up to the plate. It doesn't mean he's going to get it done every time, but when he comes up now, you expect good things to happen with Alonso, where the majority of the year, especially in a big spot, you didn't expect that. So
opposite. You thought he was going to fail.
Right.
He was lost.
And he was failing. He has now been unlocked. He's always had the support of the fans, but the belief started to dissipate as we've gone on. And the bigger the moments got in September, the smaller Pete became, until that home run in Milwaukee, and we thought it might unlock him finally, and it has. Pete Alonso is now an impact player. And you mentioned, too, before we get back to the calls here, 888-808-1019, Mendoza pushing all the right buttons, even a move like Jesse Winker in that lineup yesterday. The Mets have good Tyrone Taylor playing him in center field. How about the play that he makes?
Let me tell you, I wanted to jump in on that, but finish your thought. That play was amazing.
But Mendoza pushing all the right buttons, and his players, so he's putting them in positions to succeed, and they are delivering.
Remember the old video with Freddie McGriff, your boy Freddie, you love Freddie. Tommy Emanski, the video's like, if you were to do how to retrieve a ball off the center field wall in a playoff situation and throw a dime to second. By the way, that was a great tag by Lindor to get him there. That was a really good tag. Yep. You know, bombs running into some bad luck. I mean, it was a very good play by Vientos, who suddenly started to look very good at third. That was a great throw
across
the diamond.
Their defense, overall, Lindor yesterday making plenty of plays, not just that one. But
they're catching the ball. And even when Pete wasn't hitting, he was picking the ball at first base, so the defense is definitely buttoned up. But that play by Tyrone Taylor, you cannot script it better, because there was basically three things happened at once. He retrieved it, he caught it, he actually four things. He caught it, turned, and fired simultaneously. And it seems simple. He made something really hard look easy. And what I say, the stars are showing up, and the fringe players are doing their thing. I didn't like when Winker sat. Remember he had the triple in Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Then he sat the next night. I didn't like that. I've been supporting Winker really since he came here. He's these young legs. Forget about JD Martinez night to night. I didn't know this until Gary Cohn said it on the postgame show on SNY. I guess Winker's been battling a pretty bad back. So maybe we talk about Lindor's back, but this has been undersold. Nobody really knows about this until I didn't know that until Gary said it.
It's been mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I remember, that he's dealing with a little
bit of a back. But not prominently.
Right.
And maybe that's one of the reasons why Mendoza did not start him the next game. And I took issue with it. I thought Winker should have played after the triple. But here he is out there last night. You know, he rocks one to the top tank. He very well almost hit another one. And the Mets look like they can get to and win the World Series.
The biggest thing that's changed here for the Mets this year is they have raised the floor as far as the depth. Even a move like yesterday, pinch running Harrison Bader. Bader's more than a pinch runner. And a lot of times in years past, you see him with the Yankees roster right now, they have a guy specific to pinch running. It can't do anything else. The Mets have a guy, and they used to have guys like, oh, all right, we'll use this guy as a pinch runner extraordinaire. Now they have a guy that not only can pinch run and be an upgrade, but you put him in center field. Also, by the way, he is a professional at bat. Like, their depth has taken them to great lengths, and it's something that Stearns was on early and often in the season, and I don't think it's an accident that the team depth has carried them to many victories into the postseason, and now you're starting to see that depth and their star players all start to come together. BT, it's Al on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Lou is in Tom's River. What's up, Lou?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I think it was BT over the weekend. You were talking about how you like to build a timeline of what the season was, which I thought was really interesting because if you look at it, and I'm a 54-year Yankee fan. I'm not afraid to admit it that I think the Mets have a better shot of getting there. But if you look at the Mets, you have guys that didn't even make the lineup, didn't even make the opening day lineup who are producing.
Mm-hmm.
You have every, and you keep saying is, so I'm wondering, is not just the stars and the role players, but how much do you think is Mendoza meant to this team and what he's done, especially since the All-Star break?
I think his instincts have been superb. I don't know that you could have a better first year as a manager here, whether it's the media, whether it's the fluidity of the roster. And thanks for the call. And he referenced something I said on Saturday. I did a show Saturday. Right. Sal was on Sunday. And obviously jumping in, you know, head first into this crazy awesome time in New York sports. And I said, guys, you know who hit fourth on opening day for the Mets against the Brewers? Jeff McNeil. I mean, Iglesias, who's hitting five, was in the minors. You guys know the story. Right. Vientos didn't make the team. Brett Beatty did. Obviously, Alvarez was hurt. And all the storylines. So you very rarely get, you know, maybe some of those great Yankee teams like the Duncans and some of the other ancillary pieces had their fingerprints on the championship along with the stars. But you usually don't see so many hands on deck, like all 25 guys.
Right.
I mean, have a role on the team. And it's that Stearns. He built it.
Correct. Building a team. It's why a lot of the moves, he didn't go chase stars and get the biggest guys out there. He smartly built a team. It's why if you looked at it and you said, you know, I was on record saying this, I thought the Mets had a better offseason than the Yankees. And in the beginning, it was like, okay, Sal, oh, you did it. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, now you know why I was saying what I said. Did it mean that the Mets had the great star power, that they were going to be better than the Yankees? No, but they were building a team. Sean Manaea looked like a signing that many people were like, wow. Manaea, go out there and get Montgomery or go out and get Blake Snell. And yet Manaea has been significantly better than anything that Jordan Montgomery did. And Blake Snell, you know, on the outside looking in, obviously. Manaea has turned into an ace. Severino taking a flyer on him. And I don't know, maybe they get a good year from Severino. And look at what he has done. And those are just a couple of the moves. Obviously, Bader or Tyrone Taylor, a move that people are looking at, not even thinking of Tyrone Taylor. Look at the importance that he's had on this team. He's built, Stearns has built a team here, and that's how they win. And now, something that they didn't even count on. Iglesias, he was in their system, but you're right. He was in the minor leagues. Vientos, they sent him down. But those guys, once they got the opportunity, because other guys weren't contributing, they were brought up. The Mets are a team, a well-built, deep team. Don't have the superstars, but they're showing that a well-built, deep team can go far.
The Manaea thing is interesting to me. Now, you were at the game, so you might not have seen this. I didn't even see it on the screen. I wound up doing a deep dive because I heard something. Let me follow this up a little bit more. So, since he changed his arm slot, which is nothing short of amazing. I mean, it's not like a little teeny weeny tiny tweak. It is a radical overhaul of throwing the baseball, man. Like, he's changed where he stands on the rubber. He's changed where his front foot lands. Your slingshot the ball. It is so hard to do. I don't know how he's doing it.
In season.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. So in the 19 starts since he changed his arm slot, he threw one changeup to a lefty hitter. One changeup in 19 starts. I mean, that's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pitches. Yesterday, at one point, he threw three or four changeups in a row. So not only the Mets executing, but they're thinking. And he's pitching backwards, and he's not alone. So that, I think that that's attributable to their two-strike approach, which has been, you know, a great strength this offseason. They're dialed in, man. You got to be pumped. You got to be loving this.
And Mets fans are in cloud nine right now.
I'm worried about my guys tonight, man.
Matt is, yeah, but we'll see. Matt is in Brooklyn. We'll get to the Yankees a little bit. Matt is in Brooklyn. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. First off, big fan of the show. Great to see what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matty.
So just to go back to what we were saying about the Mets in March, and I'm not a Mets fan, just to clear that up. I'm a Giants fan, San Francisco Giants fan. So when you looked at the Mets before the season started, it was like a team that we weren't really sure. There were a lot of question marks because the offseason things that they had to me were they were good, but I didn't feel like they were good enough. So as a Giants fan, I think that the Mets can really go get Blake Snell because I'm not confident in my team getting him.
Yeah, but
you would you –
Go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry, finish up.
Would you want to have another left-handed ace like Blake Snell in your rotation?
Matt, here's what I'll say. You're a Giant fan, so you can worry about the offseason. Right now, no Met fan is concerned, nor should they be concerned about the offseason.
No.
Like, I'm not thinking about Soto, let alone Blake Snell. Like, or Alonso, even, for that matter. Like, we've discussed it, well, you know, because Alonso's recent, you know, the big home runs, whether that means he's going to stay or not. It's not about the offseason. There's plenty of time. There are plenty of seasons to talk about the offseason in season. There's plenty of time to talk about the offseason during the actual offseason. Right now, when the New York Mets, out of nowhere, are one win away from the NLCS, all due respect, Matt, no one gives a crap about Blake Snell or the Giants or the offseason.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, now listen, there was a time like, you know, when the Knicks were chasing LeBron and D-Wade and Chris Bosh and obviously Amari came. But, you know, like when the Knicks were in the middle of a pitiful season, you can juggle the season because the season sucked.
Right.
And what might transpire during the summer to actually elevate the franchise to even incorporate that now is a complete waste of time. Yeah. And you don't have to tell Met fans that. They're enjoying the ride. Met fans are dialed in. The one thing that did surprise me a little bit yesterday, like it's one thing to win, all right? And I wasn't sure if the Mets were going to win yesterday, quite frankly. I said that to you on the air. Because the way game two ended, when you blow a save, that's the most painful way to lose a baseball game. Mm-hmm. When you blow a save, what you stud, even though he's a little shaky, but he's still pretty studly for the most part, Diaz. And the Phillies, you know, great hitters start to show some momentum at the end of that game. There was just a vibe there. I'm like, man, there's not always carry over with baseball. It's not that kind of sport. Because it's not an energy sport necessarily, but I was surprised that the Mets dominated them yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're up 2-0. All right, they have a couple of guys on. All right, out. And we're going to get a clutch knock? Yeah, you are. His name is Starling Marte, okay?
Right, yep.
All right, here's a little tack-on run from Lindor, which gives the bullpen a chance to give Diaz a chance to regenerate. And those guys did their job. So the play in center field, the double play to double up, I think it was Schwarber at second base. Like, everything is clicking off-season. Oh, yeah, worry about the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, come on, we're in the midst of a great run in season here. Plenty of time to discuss the offseason. Not now. You know who's going to be discussing the offseason after today? The Phillies! Don't let it get back to Philadelphia. Now, I was more confident yesterday because of Manaea. I do think it's different with Quintana today. Quintana's not a guy who's going to attack that lineup. Quintana's a guy who's he's smart. He's a good pitcher. Keep the ball out of the strike zone. Are Philly hitters going to bite? Or are they going to be patient? This could be a tricky one today because of the matchup. Yesterday, I loved it because I thought Manaea would dominate.
Yep.
He did. It's going to be a tough one today. Phillies aren't going quietly.
No.
And then all of a sudden, if they win today, series shifts back to Philadelphia, game five against Wheeler.
You're going to face a stud. And you might try to get four outs, you know, from Diaz today because I don't think you get the length from Quintana.
Right,
but he's more of a nibbler, there's no doubt. I know we'll get back to the calls here. BT and Sal on the Fan. But Quintana's a guy that I've... I was wavering on a little bit the last couple of weeks. I don't think he gets ripped up. Like, I think if the Mets offense has a, not even a great day, just a competent day, I think you get late stages. Mets have a chance to win this game.
BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls on either side. We'll get to the Jets stuff as well. Woody Johnson speaking yesterday. Robert Saleh releasing a statement today. Yankees will work in. We'll have both Howie and Susan today, as we usually do on Wednesdays. So a lot to get to. Just getting started. BT and Sal on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. 888-808-1019, the number to call. We mentioned Tyrone Taylor and his great play yesterday. I couldn't get enough, BT, on the way home, watching on the phone the SNY clips that they put out there during postgame, a lot of the comments, because most of it was about the crowd. My favorite was from Tyrone Taylor, and this is why I said, I told you weeks ago, if I was still into buying jerseys of players, which I used to do back in 99 or 2000 or 2001, of players for the year, like I buy a different player,
yep,
Taylor would be that guy. He's not the most popular guy, but he's a guy that's just an absolute freaking gamer. And this was the quote yesterday that made me love him even more, talking about the atmosphere at Citi Field.
What was that crowd like for the full nine innings?
Nothing I've ever experienced before. You know, it was epic there. Like I said, I felt like I could have ran through a wall that during my play, and then a couple of times today when that didn't even involve me. So it was exciting, and looking forward to it tomorrow too.
And that's how he plays. Like the exact way that you would want to feel, man, I felt like I could run through a wall. Well, he plays like that anyway. So the fact that he would be that amped and saying nothing like he'd ever experienced, and I would assume that most players felt like that yesterday. Now, they didn't say it the way he did, but it was almost something that I've never experienced as a fan. I've been to almost every home Mets playoffs game since 1999. Now, there have been some great crowds at Shea, certainly loud crowds, World Series, whatever it may be. Yesterday was on par with any of it. So I would hope that the players feel like Tyrone Taylor felt.
Do you think it would have felt like that, let's say, if they come back 0-2 from Philly?
Nah.
Probably not, right?
I think it would have been good.
Yeah, I do too.
But not like that. I mean, think about the unique, almost perfect circumstance. The Mets hadn't been home in 2 weeks or whatever it's been. It was arguably the greatest week in the history of the franchise last week, when you had Lindor Monday in game one of the doubleheader, Alonso Thursday winning that series, coming back in game one against Philadelphia, even in the loss in game two coming back. Like, so the Mets, A, haven't been home. B, had one of the greatest weeks, if not the greatest week, outside of winning an actual championship in franchise history. And then C, the confidence from the fans because of that, and excitement to be back home and see this team in the championship or in the division series round.
Uh-huh.
I think it was a perfect storm.
It has been so far. You know, I think sometimes, Sal, we too often reach for parallels. And in the moment, they kind of feel right. And I'll give you an example. The Knicks and the Rangers.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, what were a lot of us saying? Kind of feels like 94.
Right.
And you almost start to get that sense, and maybe you certainly conjure up the hope, but maybe that hope turns a little more definitive than it should, and you kind of ignore maybe some of the realities, which is fine. That's what fans do, and we leaned into it as well. But this feels real. Like, this does really feel real. I can't say that enough. I watched the Mets, and if you're just conditioned to want five superstars, then that's how you think you win a championship. I don't know what to tell you. But if you're looking for grinding at bats and two-strike approaches and no quits, and no-quit attitude, and running the bags the right way and playing tight defense and starters giving you length and the manager having a good pulse and the GM on top of it and everybody having a hand on deck, this feels like a team that is going to be playing baseball for a while.
Team is the key word there. A lot of times, especially in this town, we get caught up in chasing the superstars. Mets have built a team. They're playing like a team, and they're having success doing so. Chris is calling from Flint, Michigan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Great show. Thanks for taking my call. I'll make it quick because I know it gets loud when I'm in here building these trucks. I just want to say two things. First, before I get to those, BT, you said Winker and Alonso are going to hit home runs tomorrow before you guys ended the show. I hope you can do something like that again before you guys end the show today.
Well, I'll see what I can muster up for Met fans. I am the leader of Met Nation, obviously, so I'll see what I can do.
We will take it. All right, so two things. First, I don't want Diaz coming in unless it's a clean slate and only three outs. He has to establish some mojo, and bringing him in when there's guys on base, I get the thinking, but he needs something to start fresh. And second, you were talking about Alonso getting his swings off and looking good. I saw the same thing. I know he didn't do anything, But Francisco Alvarez, every single at bat, every time he was up there, they were getting better and closer. I think he's going to uncork one tonight. Mm. I'll hang up and listen
to
you guys.
Thank you, Chris, for checking in. Yeah, I mean, Alvarez was hitting the ball hard last night, pulling it as well. You just get the sense that, and now look, a lot could change in one day. Oh, it feels great right now. We're talking Mets. We're talking NLCS potentially. They're on a high. Yeah, they could go win the World Series. Putting the Phillies out is going to be difficult. Mm-hmm. And if they don't do it today, now all of a sudden you lose all that momentum.
Yep.
Pressure's still going to be on Philadelphia, especially in a Game 5 there. But
do they lose the momentum? They didn't lose the momentum from Game 2.
I think it'd be different if they lost at home.
Because of Wheeler?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going on the road and what's going to be in a hostile environment, and because of Wheeler. Those are things you don't want to,
The one, they might lose the momentum, but the one thing that they shouldn't lose, because they've earned this, is the faith of the Met fan. Right. Like, you can be concerned, like, say if they lose, I'm just saying, say if they lose 6-2 today, or 7-3, right? Yeah. And it doesn't look aesthetically right. Like, the Phillies hit a couple of home runs, Mets don't do a whole lot on offense, Quintana gets knocked around. I'm not saying it will, but I'm saying if that happens, even going into the next game in Philly against their ace, you're going to be nervous because that's the nature of being a fan, but you don't abandon belief or real true conviction that you're going to win like we do with some of our teams, because this team has shown a propensity to just dig themselves out from the worst positions possible.
Right, especially when their back's against the wall. At some point, though, when you're playing with fire like that, at some point you're going to get burned. I'm just telling you how I feel. Like, I wouldn't bet against the Mets, but my gut is saying, and I've said this before yesterday's game, I thought that they were going to win games 3 and games 4 and not go back to Philly. If they don't win today, I don't love their chances in that ballpark against that team and against that pitcher. I'm not saying they can't do it, obviously.
What you're saying. I get it, Sal. Can I say one thing, too? Obviously, we'll get to the Yankees later. But just the way the series is going, I'm actually jealous. Number one, I'm a little more concerned than Mets fans are now. But forget about that. I'm actually bothered and I'm jealous by the fact that you guys get to enjoy, you play Saturday, you play Sunday. You play Tuesday, you play Wednesday. I can't stand this intermittent play, stop. Like, at least the Mets-Phillies, the flow is fantastic.
Yeah, you had 2 games in a row, off day, 2 games in a row, off day. That's how it should be. Yankees now will start 2 games in a row, finally.
Finally. Starting today. But so far, it's been weird.
And it could be the last 2 games.
Stop.
No, I'm saying it could be the last 2 games for the Royals, or the last 2 games of the series.
I like that.
Would be Game 5 Saturday, if necessary. Antonio's in Manhattan. What's up, Antonio?
Hey, what's up? How you doing, guys?
Hey.
Good, man. Real quick, I was watching the Phillies post game yesterday. Yo, those guys are rough, man. They were like calling Harper a bum, Schwarber a bum, Stott a bum. Because I was like, damn, these people, they don't play games. And basically, two things I got from them. And that is, number one, that Suarez, supposedly he was hurt. Nola was saying this in the postgame, that he was hurt, but that he's 100% now. And then the second thing is that they think that the Mets relievers, they suck. Especially Maton, they're like, this guy, he comes in throwing little curveballs when they're up like four runs. That tells you, like, we need to get to the bullpen. Like, they're, like, really emphasizing that. And because of that, I think this is my point that I wanted to call for, is that Peterson now becomes a really important piece, because he can basically come in a leverage situation in the 7th or 8th inning for the next 2 games. So I don't think that the Mets should use him just 1 game. I think that he should be available Game 4 and Game 5.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Antonio. He's not that, and thank you for the call. Meaning, he's not a guy that's going to pitch. He's not a bullpen arm. He's a starter.
Peterson.
Meaning that he's not a guy that's going to pitch today.
Bounce back and go next day.
And Game 5.
Yeah.
So they have to make the decision, which one are they going to use
him? I disagree. I don't think that you want to strike. Like, I wouldn't have Peterson throw, if he had to, 35 pitches today and then try to come back and get the heart of the Phillies order. But there's no reason why Peterson can't get an out or two today and come back and get through the same thing in Game 5. 100%.
Out or two is different.
He's shown those chops to me. The Brewers series so far in Philly, I would do that with him.
I think they got to have a plan. I think they will have a plan going in of saying, okay, if Quintana gets in early trouble or can only give us 4 innings, whatever.
Yeah.
Peterson's going to take over from there.
Yeah.
That to me is where you use him. Or if you decide not to, and I think they're going to lean to, if they need him today in that type situation, I wouldn't think, BT, that you could, again, who the hell knows, especially with arrested Diaz, I wouldn't think that today you're going to see Quintana go 4 or 5 innings. And or let's say he goes 5 or 6 and you're going to use Peterson for 7th or 8th. I think they'd rather have him at the ready in case.
Early.
Or if they don't need him today, then you have him potentially Game 5 because they have Senga starting. Unless their plan is they're using him today and that's it. Because if you use him today, then you can't have him piggyback Senga because he's not going to be able to give you much length.
Correct, which is what they tried to do in game one.
It's what they did very well in game one.
Yeah, no, I know. With Senga, I thought maybe get a little more out of Senga. No, Peterson was impressive. I think that, and I like him. He's been very, I've totally changed my opinion on him. He's got pretty nasty stuff. And I've started to feel pretty confident with McGill as well. Well, listen, if you get a situation today where Quintana's laboring, let's say the Mets have, let's say it's 5-4.
Right.
All right, let me just throw you a scenario.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to stick by this. I do think there's a situation where Peterson can go back-to-back games. But it would have to be something like this. 5-4, Quintana's on the ropes, two out, lefty coming up. Mets either up a run or down a run, or even up two or down two. But the Phillies have a few guys on base. You can, in my opinion, come out, have Peterson try to get a lefty, Schwarber, Harper, whatever, and if he gets them, then you can have him sit. You could go for an out here, and then go, whether it's McGill or however they have the rest of the bullpen stacked for today leading into Diaz, and then come back with him in Game 5. If you get a situation where the Mets are winning 4-2 and they ride him two innings and he throws 37 pitches, even if he does great, then I do not think you would see him in Game 5. But if he gets a batter or two today, I think the Mets should and would push the envelope and dust him off and go, hey, it's Game 5. Let's go.
Here's what I do. Here's what I would do, and here's what I think they're going to do. What I would do, I believe, is what they're going to do. Today's the day. It's Quintana to Peterson to Diaz. Meaning that even if Quintana goes three or four, you go Peterson. What happened, Huff? Oh, okay, yeah. No, I got it. Quintana to Peterson to Diaz. Whether he goes 3 or 4, whether he goes 5 or 6,
yep.
Peterson's the next man out. Peterson's first guy out to replace Quintana,
yep.
And then you're using him to get to Diaz.
What if they're losing, though? Like, I get it if they're winning, but if they're losing 4-1, you still want to burn Peterson for 2 or 3 innings?
That's a different question.
What are you bridging it to?
If it's a 1-1 game, even if either way,
if you're winning,
this could be the plan. If you're winning, Johnson has released if you're losing, then you probably save even more than just statement.
We're at the statement yesterday. We're meeting with the media a little bit.
888-808.
A lot of comments from Woody and Jets.
We'll hear from Rodgers later on today, as he'll be on his weekly spot with McAfee. So we will have some of that sound later on and react to that as well. I don't think Rodgers is going to say much of anything today. What's he going to say? Yeah, I rolled over Saleh, I kicked him out. He's not going to say that. But this, to me, just shows the dysfunction of the Jets organization with Woody Johnson saying he made the final decision. It was abrupt. To me, I didn't like the timing of it. I'm not saying it was the wrong move, but I don't think this is going to do anything good because they should have just cleaned house. Woody just doesn't get it.
The Jets are by far the worst run franchise in our city, and it's not even particularly close. They are an absolute disaster. They're always desperate, and when you're desperate, you do hasty things. You sacrifice, you know, your football or sporting morals because you try to save jobs or change perception. See, the problem with the Jets, and this is why they had to lean on Peyton, specific with Woody, because you're right, Woody's a mess, all right? And Woody's not getting enough heat here. I mean, we could bang on Saleh, bang on Rodgers, bang on Gase, go back to Kotite, even though Woody wasn't there for Kotite. Woody Johnson is an awful owner because Woody Johnson has no idea what he's doing, and Woody Johnson has no contacts throughout the NFL. So when you have no contacts throughout the NFL, you lean on people and you take their advice. There's a reason why Gase was hired, not because Woody had this conviction that he would be good, but because Peyton Manning said this is a good hire. Peyton Manning knows nothing about the New York market. He's a great player, but he knows nothing about the infrastructure of the Jets. And he had a biased opinion. Woody bought it because he was probably a little bit of a stargazer at that point, getting Peyton's input.
Yeah,
and it came back to burn them. But I remember talking to Amy, you know, Amy Trask, who used to run the Raiders.
Course, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did TV with Amy for years. The lover, just awesome. First female executive in the history of the NFL. Brilliant woman and an awesome woman. And she said, and I asked her, this was during the, at the end of Rex. I'm like, what is wrong with the Jets? And she's like, I'm going to tell you. I go to all these league meetings, you know, back in the day with Al Davis, and all the owners are there. And the Jets just don't have leadership. It really, it's simple. It starts there. They're not connected. They're just, they don't know who to hire. They don't know when to fire. They're an absolute broken mess. And it's Woody's team, so he's most culpable.
And do you know what's sad to me about that? Because I think there are a lot of owners in other cities, and the city is, at times, we've had that here as well. But there are other owners that don't care. and are about the bottom dollar and would just keep the business moving. I really do think Woody cares.
I do too.
I just don't think he has a clue.
I do too.
Which is why he should hire a real football mind. And, you know, I actually didn't even think about this, but how about Pete Carroll, who's out there? Somebody just brought that up to me, and I was like, oh, because we talked about Vrabel, we talked about Belichick. In this particular spot, what's the harm of hiring an older coach who knows what he's doing? Now, by the way, even if you hire Belichick, it's going to take weeks, if not years or months, to clean up a mess and build the foundation the right way. So would Carroll be the right guy? Would Belichick? Who knows? Maybe Vrabel would be the right guy, but that's what needs to happen. You know, that's why we were screaming for Harbaugh to be hired, because we know he's a program builder. The Jets need their program to be built. It hasn't been built since Parcells. It hasn't been built. Not even with Rex and the success that they had. Mangini was on his way to building it. Rex took it over from him and took Mangini's teams to back-to-back AFC championship games. But the program hasn't been built since Bill Parcells. And that's on Woody Johnson. Hire the right football people and get the hell out of the way. He's tried it different ways, but he's failed every which way. Young coach, offensive coach, older coach, some experience.
He's never tried an established coach. Well, maybe you should try that.
Well, I mean, Gase had some experience, but yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
Yes. Hey, you tried the old quarterback, tried to draft a quarterback over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, therein lies the problem. So this is not going to get fixed.
Yeah.
Just going with Ulbrich.
It's very deep-rooted. Listen, I do think... I said this yesterday to Sal. The news broke at about 10:08 live on the air. By the way, if you go to check out our immediate reaction, which is ridiculous, this, the pictures of us are crazy. Odyssey app, just hit rewind, get up to speed there. It's on WFA and YouTube as well. Most teams like this that are broken from the top down, there's no culture. The irony here is that there's enough culture to salvage this for me. There's a defensive culture. And you know, I think with Rodgers, and I think there could be enough of a fix to just become a serviceable offense. I do. I always reference the old Knicks because that's the worst example. I didn't tell you this. I remember years ago is when I'm doing the stuff, whatever, pre and post, whatever. And I'm there early and the Knicks are at shoot around, right? It's Isaiah Thomas year, right before right after Larry Brown was fired. Ronaldo Balkman, remember him?
Yeah, of course.
He is on where Spike Lee sits. This is like 2 hours before the game. Ronaldo Balkman is sitting on the bench with his legs spread out. Everybody else is shooting around. His arms with two girls, one on each arm. Mm. It's not a bad way to spend the night, but maybe you do it after the game. You know what I mean? So that to me is a cultureless, rudderless ship. Curry was 30 pounds overweight. Balkman wasn't a pro. They were a disaster. Stephon Marbury literally wanted to, Quentin Richardson wanted to kill Marbury to the point where Marbury locked himself in the door. All right, so that's bad culture. This is not a bad culture, although it has been during Woody's years at times. I think this is still salvageable. I know you think I'm nuts.
No, I don't think you're nuts. I just don't see it. But you're talking about the season or you're talking about the organization?
Season.
The season might be salvageable because you look at the AFC East, which is something we talked about. It's dreadful. The Bills, obviously, even if they're better than the Jets, they're still not that much better where it's inconceivable to think that the Jets could catch them.
Yep.
And the Dolphins and Patriots, two of the worst teams in football, especially without Tua for Miami. If Tua comes back, that could change things.
Sure.
So who knows what's going to go on there. But I just, the foundation is broken, severely broken. Rodgers is a problem. And I love Rodgers, but he's a problem because he's controlling things. That's why Hackett's here. Hackett's a big issue. There's nobody controlling anything, and Ulbrich doesn't have the resume or the cachet.
But he's got the personality that Salah did not have.
Well, good. Well, then he should walk in there and say, hey, Aaron, pick that piece of garbage up. Whatever it may take to show that he's the boss. Hey, you drop something, pick it up.
He might.
Those type of things. I'm just using a crazy example. But
of course.
The way Phil Simms, did you hear Phil today with Phil
and Joe? I always hear Phil with those guys.
Me
it was
too.
Great.
I love it.
With the Dan Reeves story?
Correct.
Go ahead, tell it.
Correct.
Tell
Dan Reeves. So Reeves walks in immediately and says, hey, sit up in the chairs and take the stupid hats off.
Uh-huh.
And Phil looks at Bart Oates and says, man, we're going to win here.
Yep.
Because that's a guy who's not messing around. He's the head coach. He's in control. I know that we've evolved and everything's changed. I bet you Brian Daboll's more like Dan Reeves and Bill Parcells than anything else.
I agree.
Okay, and what are you seeing from the Giants? You're seeing it being built in a year where they, 2 years ago, when they had no expectations whatsoever, with no talent, he took them to the postseason. Last year, they got ravaged by injury. He still was able to right the ship. Mm-hmm. And then this year, when many were saying, oh, the circus is going to start after 2 weeks or even after a week, Daboll has now it's, oh, look, you read the post today. Oh, Brian Daboll can coach. Yeah, okay. Well, we've been telling you that for 3 years, but Forget it. Anyway, Dable knows what he's doing. The foundation is being built. The Jets haven't had that.
Once you, if you don't step on the gas to start, you try to accelerate mid-drive, the car's crashing. You can't do it.
All gas, no brakes.
More like all crash, all burn. I'll tell you what. You know, you're messing around saying, hey, Rodgers, pick up the garbage.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
He's not going to do that. But what he is going to do, hey, Rodgers, your coordinator is no longer the coordinator. I fully expect Ulbrich to remove the play-calling duties from Hackett.
So what happened with that? Sala wanted to do it. Yeah, and then he got fired.
I know. Listen, in a
lot
of ways.
You think that's part of it?
I do. Listen, I think Sala was a horrendous coach, but I also think that he's a bit of a fall guy unnecessarily.
He was neutered, BT, the day they brought in Rodgers.
Yeah, and he had to go because, to me, I knew they were. I strongly surmise that they would never have found a way to regenerate with Sala. So to me, and again, I don't take pleasure in somebody getting fired, but to me, you had to do that. Now you give yourself a chance to write this. And I'm telling you what, Ulbrich is the opposite. He's coming in, and he's dropping F-bombs, and he's not kissing the players' asses. He's going to hold them accountable. I guarantee the game day interaction in full view of the cameras is going to be the exact opposite of Robert Sala, who all he did was clap and cheer. Ulbrich's going to be in guys' grills, on camera, behind camera, and you mark my words, Monday night against the Bills, Hackett's not calling the place.
Good. I'd love to see it from Ulbrich. Let's see a real head coach in action here, and that would show me something if he goes after the golden boy, Aaron Rodgers. BT and Sal on the Fan will come back. We'll have Howie Rose at 11 o'clock. He'll join us, talk some Mets, and then we'll get back to your calls as well. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.